Okay, so today, Mr. Shem, we're going to finish up Melech Special and finish up the entire Siddur Depas. It's a very big accomplishment. We did not leave any details aside. We mamash learned the first 11 Melechos, a lot of extremely practical inyanim in full detail, Borer, Bishel, Dash, everything, Baruch Hashem. We did Schita, so it's a very big accomplishment, Baruch Hashem. So let's finish up. So last week we began our second and final major limitation to Melech HaSpishul. We saw that in terms of the heat that is necessary to violate Bishul, there are certain specifications as to the exact type of heat that violates Bishul, that not any Stam heat will be a problem, but only certain particular specifications will violate Bishul. And particularly last week, we saw that there's a difference between cooking in fire versus cooking in the sun, that Bishul, for the most part, is limited to cooking in a fire-based heat, as opposed to cooking in a heat that comes from an alternative source like the sun. That's what we discussed last week. And now, to round out the discussion, so tonight we're going to further refine the type of fire-based heat that violates Melech HaSpishul, that although, yes, if a heat comes from a fire, so then it's potentially subject to Bishul, but we're going to see now tonight that there are further specifications as to when it does and does not violate Bishul. Okay. So today's discussion... Tonight's discussion is going to revolve around the Mishnah on Daf Membeis Amud Aleph to Membeis Amud Beis, which is the very last Mishnah of the Sugis of Bishul in the third parak. The third parak of the Masechta is the big parak that discusses Bishul, and this is the very last Mishnah in the parak that discusses Hilchos Bishul. So the Mishnah there tells us the following halacha. It says that you cannot pour spices into a pot that was removed from the fire. If you have a pot and you remove it from the fire, and it's still hot, so you cannot pour spices into that pot. The spices we're discussing would be uncooked. You put the spices into the pot, that's a problem of Melech HaSpishul, so that's why you can't put spices into the pot. However, says the Mishnah, you can put spices into a bowl. If you have a bowl of food that's hot, so you can pour spices into the bowl, and that's apparently not a problem of Melech HaSpishul. What's the difference between a pot versus a bowl? Why is a pot a problem of Bishul, but a bowl not a problem of Bishul? So Rashi explains as follows. The difference is going to be whether we're discussing a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheni. What's a Kli Rishon? What's a Kli Sheni? So it goes like this. A Kli Rishon is the original vessel that was used to cook the food on the fire. You have a big pot of soup, you cook it on the fire. That pot is what we call the Kli Rishon, the first primary utensil that was used in cooking this food on the fire. If you then take that soup and you pour it into a second empty vessel, so that second vessel is what we call the Kli Sheni, that is a vessel that was not on the fire, but is now housing the food that was transferred into it from the Kli Rishon. So that is the difference between a Kli Rishon versus a Kli Sheni. So says Rashi, this Mishnah is teaching us a fundamental refinement to Hilchos Bishul, and that is that only a Kli Rishon is capable of cooking, but not a Kli Sheni. That when it comes to a Kli Rishon, the original pot that was on the fire, as long as that pot remains hot, so long as the food in the pot is hot, you cannot put anything uncooked into it that is capable of cooking. Even if it's removed from the fire, even if your pot of soup was removed from fire, so long as it is hot, which is the temperature of Yad Soledesbo, that your hand would recoil if it would touch it, on an academic level at least, whatever the exact temperature is, as long as it's Yad Soledesbo, so that is capable of cooking, even if it's off the fire. On the other hand, when it comes to a Kli Sheni, so a Kli Sheni is apparently incapable of cooking. Even though the food in the Kli Sheni is also hot, a Kli Sheni is also incapable, a Kli Sheni still is incapable of cooking. And so that's why the Mishnah tells me you could put spices into a pot, but not into a bowl. The pot we're discussing is a Kli Rishon. It was the pot removed from the fire. You can't put spices into that because you're cooking the spices. But a bowl is typically a Kli Sheni. You don't put a bowl on the fire. You pour your food from your soup pot into your bowl. So a bowl is typically a Kli Sheni. That's why you can pour spices into the bowl. So this is our Mishnah here on Daf Membeis Amud Aleph, which is now telling us a new fundamental refinement to the types of heat that are a problem of Bishul, teaching us that Bishul is only a problem when it comes to a Kli Rishon, but not when it comes to a Kli Sheni. Only a Kli Rishon can cook, not a Kli Sheni. Okay. Any questions on the Mishnah? Okay, fine. Ben, can I get a thumbs up? Yeah, thanks. Okay, now, before we discuss the difference between a Kli Rishon versus a Kli Sheni, why there should be this distinction, we have to further develop some more facts in the sugya. The next big question we have to ask ourselves on a factual level is as follows. The question becomes, what if we have something that's in the middle of a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni? What if we have what we call Iroi Kli Rishon? Iroi Kli Rishon is where you have a Kli Rishon and you pour from that Kli Rishon onto something uncooked. Like let's say you boil a pot of water, and so this pot of water is what we call the Kli Rishon. And let's say you take that water and you pour this water onto spices. So you're not putting the spices into the Kli Rishon, you're not putting the spices into a Kli Sheni. You're pouring onto the spices from the Kli Rishon. This is called the Iroi Kli Rishon. What's the halacha when it comes to Iroi Kli Rishon? So this is a major machlokas Rishonim. Everyone on Shabbos and Daf Mem Beis discusses this issue. What's the halacha with the Iroi Kli Rishon? And we're going to discuss two of the main approaches in the Rishonim on this issue. It's a machlokas in the Rashbam versus Rabbeinu Tam. What's the halacha in this situation? So let's start with the shita of the Rashbam. The Rashbam is brought by just about every Rishon in the books on Daf Mem Beis and Shabbos, including Tosos on the spot and the Ritva, etc. And the Rashbam says like this. The Rashbam says that Iroi Kli Rishon, pouring from the Kli Rishon, is not deemed capable of cooking. If you pour from your hot pot of water that was boiled on the stove onto your spices, that is perfectly permissible on Shabbos, that does not violate Melechus Bishul. Where did the Rashbam get this idea from that Iroi is incapable of cooking, that only the Kli Rishon itself can cook, but not pouring from the Kli Rishon? Says the Ritva, he got it from the Resha of our Mishnah. Because what was the Resha of our Mishnah? The Mishnah said that don't put spices into a pot. Don't put spices into a Kli Rishon. Says the Ritva, why did the Mishnah teach me a smaller Chiddush? Why only teach me that you can't put spices into a pot? Teach me a bigger Chiddush. Teach me that you can't even pour onto the spices from a pot. You can't put the spices into an empty plate and pour onto them from the Kli Rishon. That would be a bigger Chiddush. Why not teach me that? Says the Ritva, you know why the Mishnah didn't teach me that? Because it's not true. Because it's permissible to pour water onto the spices from a Kli Rishon. Only going into the Kli Rishon itself is a problem, but Iroi Kli Rishon is permissible. So that is Shita number one, the Shita of the Rashbam, that Iroi is not capable of cooking. He says Iroi is like a Kli Sheni. Just like a Kli Sheni cannot cook, so too pouring cannot cook is perfectly permissible on Shabbos. Okay, that is Shita number one. Moving over to Shita number two, so the second Shita is the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, once again quoted in all these Rishonim on Daf Mem Beis and Shabbos, argues on the Rashbam. Rabbeinu Tam says that really Iroi is capable of cooking. If you pour from a hot pot of water onto your spices, so that will be capable of cooking. That's treated just like a Kli Rishon, just like a Kli Rishon can cook, so too Iroi can cook. You cannot do this on Shabbos. Where did Rabbeinu Tam get this from? Where did he get this idea from that Iroi is capable of cooking? Says the Ritva, Rabbeinu Tam got this from the Seifa of our Mishnah. He was Madaik, the Seifa of our Mishnah. Because what was the Seifa of our Mishnah? That it said, where can you put your spices? When it's permissible to put spices into a pot on Shabbos? Into a Kli Sheni. You can place your spices into a Kli Sheni. Says Rabbeinu Tam, why didn't the Mishnah teach me a bigger Chiddush and the Seifa? Instead of merely telling me you can put your spices into a Kli Sheni, why not teach me you could even do Iroi Kli Rishon, and that I could put my spices into an empty bowl and pour onto them from a Kli Rishon? Says Rabbeinu Tam, let's be Medayik the Seifa. You know why the Mishnah didn't teach me that? Because it's not permissible. You can't pour onto the spices from Iroi Kli Rishon that is capable of cooking. It's only mutter to put the spices into a Kli Sheni. So that is Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that Iroi is considered capable of cooking. Iroi is Mevashel. Now, there is a certain refinement in the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, which I'm going to spell out, because it's actually brought down L'halach L'maisa. So let's just quickly spell out. There's a refinement in Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, which is a little complicated, but we'll just say the bottom line. Many Rishonim, including the Ritva, brings down Rabbeinu Tam as modifying the exact impact of Iroi, based on a Gemara in Sachem. Rabbeinu Tam, as brought down in the Ritva, says that although Iroi is capable of cooking, you pour your water onto your spices, onto a raw piece of meat, let's say, so it's capable of cooking, but as soon as it hits that meat, it's going to cool off. Based on a certain sugi and psachim of Tata Gavar, since the Iroi is landing on something cold, so the cold meat, let's say, it lands on is going to cool it off, and so the Iroi is only going to have a limited effect. What it's going to do is it's going to cook the outer layer of the piece of meat that it lands on, let's say, but it can't cook more than that. Iroi is mevashel kidei klipa. That yes, Iroi Kli Rishon is capable of cooking, but it's only going to cook the outer layer. It can't cook more than the outer layer. So that's just a modification to the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. We're pointing out that Iroi is capable of cooking, but he modifies it. He says that it will cool off as soon as it hits that thing it lands on, so it'll cook the outer layer, but not more than that. Now, of course, at first glance, it seems like a funny thing to say, that who cares how much it cooks? L'maisa, you can't cook on Shabbos. If once it cooks, you can't do it. So who cares whether it cooks the whole thing it lands on, or if it just cooks the outer layer? Either way, once it cooks, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you cannot pour from a kli rishon onto anything that's uncooked on Shabbos. What's the nafkamina of saying that it only cooks the outer layer and not more than that? Can anyone think of a nafkamina in this shita of Rabbeinu Tam, this modification to Rabbeinu Tam? Yeah, Penny.
Eating the inside.
What do you say? Well, yeah, but
eating the inside.
You want to ma'aseh Shabbos? Okay, right. So, right, that would be an afkamina. An afkamina would be one afkamina is that we know that if you violate melechus bishul, so you can't eat the product of your violation. If you violate a bishul and cook something inappropriately, you can't eat it. So, Penny's pointing out that if you poured something onto a raw piece of steak and you're willing to risk the salmonella, so you could eat the inside of the steak. So that would be an afkamina in this point. But just to point something out a little bit more practical, another nafkamina would be, let's say you have a baby bottle. Let's say you have a baby bottle which you want to heat up on Shabbos. And so let's say, assuming the milk is cold right now, and the milk, barring the issues, you know, we're machmer on bishul achar bishul by lach, even though the milk is pasteurized, but we're machmer that you can't cook this milk. So let's say you want to do irik li rishon to heat up your baby bottle. Let's say you want to put the baby bottle into an empty pot, and you want to pour onto that baby bottle from a kettle. You have a kettle that was boiling from before Shabbos. You want to pour from that kettle onto the baby bottle. So what would be halacha in that situation? So here we're discussing an issue of iroi. I'm pouring from hot water, from a kli rishon, onto this item that I'm cooking. Is that okay? Is that not okay? So according to the Rashbam, that's certainly okay. Rashbam says that iroi doesn't cook at all. When you pour from a kli rishon, it's not capable of cooking. So certainly you can pour that onto your baby bottle on Shabbos. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, at first glance, there should be an issue because iroi is capable of cooking. So perhaps I cannot pour my water onto the baby bottle. But the answer is that we can, because the way we paskin, iroi only cooks the outer layer. It doesn't cook more than the outer layer. So the actual plastic of the bottle itself is going to absorb the cooking effect of the hot water. The hot water can only cook the outside plastic bottle. It can't penetrate the milk inside, and the bottle is not subject to cooking, and therefore it'd be perfectly permissible. So that's a practical application of this modification, that although typically who cares how much it cooks, the answer is, aside from Penny's point about eating the inside, but another nafkamina is this issue with the baby bottle. If you have an outside layer that's protecting something inside, so you can pour onto it, that would not be a problem. So with that, we've concluded the Machlokas Rashbam Rabbeinu Tam on the issue of Iroi, and we've developed all the basic facts in tonight's sugya. So just to summarize, we're discussing, we're refining the type of heat, the type of fire-generated heat that's capable of cooking. So we're pointing out that a kli rishon is capable of cooking. The original pot on the fire is capable of cooking so long as it's yad, so lettuce bow, as long as it's still hot. A kli sheni is incapable of cooking. Kli sheni is, as of right now, you can put raw food into kli sheni, no problems. And the question became, what if it's in the middle? What if it's iroi kli rishon? You pour from the kli rishon onto the raw food. This was a machlokas Rashbam versus Rabbeinu Tam. Rashbam says that iroi is incapable of cooking, that it's perfectly permissible to do on Shabbos. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam argues and says that no, iroi is capable of cooking, you cannot do it on Shabbos. Though we pointed out a modification, which we're going to paskin like, that it only cooks the outer layer. It doesn't penetrate the inside, only the outer layer, and so the nafkamina would be the case with the baby bottle. Any questions on the facts before we start the conceptual analysis? Yona, you had a question? Penny?
That would only be true, can't reach, if the bottle itself can't reach a bishul temperature, right?
Is it plastic? If plastic would be heated up, is plastic subject to cooking? I don't know. We said that by
metal. Can be heated up to the...
We said that by metal, but even metal, I mean, there's a ish about...
No, if the milk itself can be heated up to the point where it's mevashel.
You're discussing the practical application of this nafkamina. If the milk would have been heated up, it's still okay because we're only cooking the baby bottle. Is that what you're pointing out?
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, okay. Any other questions? Okay, fine. So now there are two points that we now need to analyze on a conceptual level. So that's the agenda now for part 2 of today's shiur. So the first point we have to analyze is, what's the difference between a kli rishon versus a kli sheni? Why is that a kli rishon is capable of cooking, but a kli sheni is incapable of cooking? That's point number one. And then point number two is to analyze machlokas Rashbam versus Rabbeinu Tam. Why does Rashbam say iroi cannot cook? Why does Rabbeinu Tam say that iroi can cook? So that's the agenda for now. So let's start with point number one. Why is a Kli Rishon capable of cooking, but a Kli Sheni incapable of cooking? Tosfos on Mem Beis raises this question, and he points out that at first glance, it's a really paradoxical halacha, because Lamaisa, we're obviously discussing a case where in both cases, the food is hot. The content in the Kli Rishon and the content in the Kli Sheni is Yatzo lettuce bowl. It's the exact same temperature. In the Kli Rishon, it's Yatzo lettuce bowl. In the Kli Sheni, it's Yatzo lettuce bowl. If it wasn't Yatzo lettuce bowl, there'd be nothing to talk about. If it was ice cold, obviously it can't cook. So when we say a Kli Sheni cannot cook, we're talking about even a Kli Sheni that's Yatzo lettuce bowl. And obviously, we're talking about Kli Rishon that's Yatzo lettuce bowl. So why should there be a difference if the exact temperature is the same? If the temperature in both the Kli Rishon and the Kli Sheni is the same, so how come one is able to cook and one is incapable of cooking? That's the kasha that Tosfos raises on Mem Amud Beis. So Tosfos gives a fundamental answer to this question, which is really the backbone of a lot of sugyas in Hilchos Bishul and Yoredeya, a very fundamental distinction to explain the difference between a Kli Rishon versus a Kli Sheni. Why is it that a Kli Rishon is capable of cooking but not a Kli Sheni? Tosfos says like this. It's true. In terms of the degree, the temperature in both the Kli Rishon and the Kli Sheni is the same. But there's a difference in the quality of heat. The quality, the type of heat in the Kli Rishon is qualitatively different than the heat of the Kli Sheni. And that's why the Kli Rishon is going to be capable of cooking, but not the Kli Sheni. What's the difference in quality? So Tosfos says like this. When it comes to a Kli Rishon, so the Kli Rishon has what he refers to as the Phanos Mechamamos. It has hot walls because the Kli Rishon was cooked on the fire itself. You have your pot of soup. The pot of soup was on the fire itself. The fire heated up the walls of this pot. So the walls of the pot have an intrinsic heat. The walls are intrinsically hot. And so that's going to create a certain context, a certain quality of heat. When you have a Kli Rishon, so not only is the food in the pot hot, the walls, the context is also hot. So that's going to create a high quality of heat, which is going to be capable of cooking. In contrast to that, says Tosfos, when it comes to a Kli Sheni, so there's a chisaron, there's a different quality of heat that is less effective. Because there you have cold walls. When it comes to a Kli Sheni, the walls of the Kli are intrinsically cold. I didn't put the Kli Sheni onto the fire. I poured it into the Kli Sheni from the Kli Rishon. The walls of the Kli Sheni are cold. They're in a process of cooling off the food in the Kli Sheni. And so that creates a certain context which is less capable of cooking. So Tosfos is pointing out that there's a qualitative difference between a Kli Rishon versus a Kli Sheni. A Kli Rishon has hot walls that creates a certain quality of heat that's capable of cooking, whereas a Kli Sheni has cold walls that's a certain quality of heat that's incapable of cooking. Now, even in the current days, when they have these recipes and these cookbooks, so that, we're sensitive to the fact that there are different qualities of heat. Some recipes have to be done in a convection oven. Some recipes, there's roasting. There's different forms of cooking. So Chazal understood that from the halachic perspective, so too, the quality of heat of a Kli Rishon is capable of cooking, whereas the quality of heat of a Kli Sheni is incapable of cooking. The fact that a Kli Rishon has hot walls creates a certain context of heat that's able to cook. A Kli Sheni has a context where it's cold. The walls are cooling it off. That's incapable of being cooked. That's point number one. Tosfos is yesod as to why a Kli Rishon can cook, a Kli Sheni cannot cook. We're good? Okay. So now let's go over to point number two. Now the question becomes, what's the hesber and the machlokas about Iroi? We had a machlokas as to if pouring from the Kli Rishon onto the Kli Sheni, onto the spices, is capable of cooking. Rishbam said that it cannot. Benatam says that it can. And the question is, what's the hesber in that machlokas? What's the nekudas machlokas as to if Iroi is capable of cooking or not? Does anyone want to try to give a hesber in this machlokas? What's the machlokas, Rishbam or Benatam? This is the core of Yoredeya and a lot of Hilchos Bishul and Shabbos as to whether Iroi is capable of cooking or not. Anyone want to suggest the hesber in this machlokas?
Well, if you don't hold that the walls have a special koach and it's just really about the heat, then Iroi is a problem. If the material is hot, then it's hot. But the thing is, it no longer has the walls associated with it. That's the key, is that Iroi doesn't have the walls. So if you care about the walls, then it matters. And now the Iroi would not be Bishul. But if you don't care about the walls and you would only care about the temperature, then the Iroi is a problem.
Okay, that's exactly where we're headed. We just need to modify that slightly. It's mamish 90%. This is one modification because we do care about the walls. We saw from Tosfos that we care about the walls because a Kli Rishon is able to cook because of its walls. A Kli Sheni is not capable of cooking because of its walls, cold walls versus hot walls. So we're going to pick up on the point Mr. Cohen is making, that Iroi doesn't have any walls, And that's exactly the point we're going to capitalize on. But we need to modify just a little bit because we do care about the walls a little bit. So let me say over how the Birchas Avram is masber this machlokas. Same methodology, just a slight modification. He says like this. The Birchas Avram says that the hesber in this machlokas is going to be based on the chakira of the Chavos Da'as. The Chavos Da'as was written by the Nesivos. Nesivos wrote a sefer on Yerideya called the Chavos Da'as. And in the Chavos Da'as, he poses a basic chakira, which the Birchas Avram points out is really going to be the core of this machlokas, Rishpam versus Rabbeinatam. So the chakira is like this. We just got through saying in point number one that the Tosis is fundamental distinction between Kli Rishon versus Kli Sheni, that a Kli Rishon has walls that are hot. It has a quality of heat of hot walls, which is why it's able to cook, whereas a Kli Sheni has cold walls. It has a certain context which makes it incapable of cooking. Asks the Chavos Da'as, he says, we could pose a little bit of a chakira here as to which one is the baseline. What's the rule and what's just being drawn after? What's the baseline factor in determining the difference between a Kli Rishon versus a Kli Sheni? There are really two possibilities. One possibility is to say that the baseline distinction is revolving around the Kli Rishon, that a Kli Rishon is a Kli that has hot walls, and anything that doesn't have hot walls is incapable of cooking and is like a Kli Sheni. That is one possibility, that the real baseline distinction is whether you have hot walls or not. Kli Rishon has hot walls, and anything without hot walls is not going to be capable of cooking. Or, says the Chavos Da'as, there's another possibility. Maybe the baseline revolves around the Kli Sheni. Maybe Kli Sheni has a certain deficiency of cold walls. Once it has the cold walls, which is cooling off the content inside, that makes it incapable of cooking. If you don't have cold walls, then you're capable of cooking. So maybe that's the distinction between a Kli Rishon versus Kli Sheni. Kli Sheni specifically has cold walls. Whatever doesn't have cold walls is able to be cooked. So we have a chakira now. What's the baseline distinction between a Kli Rishon versus a Kli Sheni? Is it that a Kli Rishon has hot walls and anything without hot walls is not able to be cooked? Or is it the distinction whether you have cold walls or not? That a Kli Sheni has cold walls, that's why it cannot cook. And anything without cold walls, without the Defanes Mekaroros, is able to be cooked. What's the nafkaminas chakira? The nafkaminas is going to be, as Mr. Cohn pointed out, what if we have a case where there are no walls at all? What if there aren't hot walls, but there aren't cold walls, right? The chakira is, do you need hot walls to be able to cook? Or is that cold wall stops you from being able to cook? So the nafkamina is, what if we have something in the middle where there are no walls at all, like in case of Iroi? So that's going to be the nafkamina in this chakira. So let's plug that in now to the two tzadim in this chakira. If you go with the first side in our chakira, the first side in our chakira is to say that the baseline distinction, the fundamental difference between Kli Rishon versus Kli Sheni is if you have hot walls. A Kli Rishon has hot walls. The context of hot walls is what makes it able to be cooked. And a Kli Sheni doesn't have those hot walls. Well, if that's the case, then even Iroi doesn't have hot walls. Because as soon as you pour the content out of the pot, even if it's in midair, as Mr. Cohn pointed out, there are no more walls anymore. There's no longer hot walls creating that context to make it able to be cooked. So if we go with the first side in the chakira, if it's all about having hot walls to become a Kli Rishon, and anything without hot walls can't cook, well then even Iroi won't be able to cook, because in midair already, it doesn't have hot walls, and therefore will not be able to be cooked. This will be the explanation on the Shita of the Reshbam. The Reshbam, as explained by the Birchas Avram, is going to hold that Iroi is not able to be cooked. You can do Iroi on Shabbos, because since it doesn't have hot walls, therefore it's incapable of cooking. Okay, so that is side number one in our chakira. Let's move over now to the second side in our chakira. The second side in our chakira was to say that maybe it's all about revolving around Kli Sheni, that if you have cold walls, it's specifically the cold walls which makes the Kli Sheni incapable of cooking. That's a deficiency that stops it from being able to be cooked. A Kli Rishon doesn't have cold walls, that's why it's able to be cooked. If that's the determining distinction between the two, so now Iroi is going to come out differently. Because when I pour something onto my spices, let's say, right now, when it's in midair, when this stream is in midair, although it's true I don't have hot walls, I also don't have cold walls. It has not yet been impacted upon by cold walls. If I specifically need the cold walls to cool it off, to stop it from cooking, well, in midair, it doesn't have cold walls, it's going to be able to cook. And so that's going to be the hesber behind the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that Iroi is able to cook. He's holding that since the defining factor as to if you can cook or not is having cold walls, since Iroi doesn't have cold walls, therefore it's capable of cooking. And that's why he cannot do it on Shabbos. Though he does hold that although it is capable of cooking, as soon as it hits the cold food, it's going to cool off. And so that's why it has this middle effect of cooking the outer layer, but not more than that, because it does get cooled off as soon as it lands. But since in midair it was still hot, that's why it cooks a kedei klipa. So that's the fundamental hesber in this machlokas, as proposed by the Birchas Avram, plugging in this classic Chakir of the Chavis Das to explain whether Ira can cook or whether it cannot cook. Any questions on the Hasbar? Okay. Fine. So Mr. Cohen, it was Mama Shira analysis, so we had to modify it slightly because we are taking walls into account. So we just modified it a little bit. Okay. Now we'll see, I guess we should have time for it. There are two really practical nafkaminas in this chakira. The two practical issues that come up alach l'maisa that are nafkaminas in this chakira as if the baseline is about having hot walls or if the baseline is about having cold walls, whether the hot walls makes the pirushin able to cook or is it that the cold wall stops the klisheni from being able to be cooked. So we're going to point out now two very practical nafkaminas in this chakira. Nafkamina number one, they're both pointed out by the Chavis Das. The Chavis Das is in Simen Sadi Beis in Yerdeya in Os Chav Zayin. He points out both of these nafkaminas in this chakira. So the first nafkamina he poses is like this. There's a major machlokas haposkim on the following issue. The question becomes, we just learned tonight that there's a heter of klisheni, that a klisheni is incapable of cooking. As of right now, we should have no problem on Shabbos if you have a klisheni. You pour from an urn, let's say, into a cup. So now the cup is a klisheni. The urn was the kli rishon. You pour it onto a cup, so the cup is now a klisheni. So you could put raw food into that cup. As of right now, klisheni is incapable of cooking. Now there's a major machlokas haposkim as to if the heter of klisheni applies to solids. Does the heter of klisheni apply to solids, or is it limited to liquids? So what's called a davar gush. Does it apply to a davar gush? Let's say I have a piece of meat that I cooked in a pot on the fire. So the meat was in a kli rishon, and then I put that piece of meat onto my plate. I'm having my Shabbos Uda. I put the meat onto my plate, and so the plate should be a kli sheni. The question becomes, does the heter of kli sheni apply to solids? Is this piece of meat capable of cooking? Is it incapable of cooking? If I have some spices that were not pre-cooked, if I have some spices and I want to put the spices onto my piece of meat, is that okay? Is that not okay? If it can cook, then I can't put spices onto it. If it can't cook, then I can't. What's the halacha in this situation? So this is a major machlokas haposkim. Just to give some names, the Chavis Das himself and the Minchas Yaakov are mekel on this issue. They hold that the heter of klisheni does apply in this case, that the solids cannot cook just like liquids, whereas the Magen Avraham is machma on this issue. The Magen Avraham in Shini Yedches at the very end is machma on this issue and hold that solids are capable of cooking, that the heter of klisheni only applies to liquids, not to solids. What's the hesber in this machlokas as to whether solids are subject to the heter of kli rishon or not? Says the Chavis Das, that's totally on our chakira. This chakira that we're posing now is going to be at the root of this shaila as to if solids are subject to the heter of kli sheni. So let's plug in the two tzadim in the chakira. Once again, the chakira was, is the baseline about having hot walls or having cold walls. So to plug in, it goes like this. If you go with the first side in our chakira, if what makes you able to be cooked, what makes you into kli rishon is having hot walls, and as soon as you lose those hot walls, if you don't have hot walls anymore, you cannot cook and you're a klisheni. So then it's going to come out that the heter of klisheni should certainly apply to solids just like liquids. Why should it be limited to liquids? Even my solids, as soon as I take my piece of meat out of the kli rishon, I put it onto my plate, it no longer has hot walls. It's no longer in the context of hot walls. It's no longer going to be capable of cooking. So this will be the hesbra and the shita of the Chavis Das and the Minchas Yaakov. And the Chavis Das spells out this lamdas explicitly. He says that I hold that kli sheni does not apply, that the heter does not apply, does apply to solids. I hold the heter does apply to solids because it does not have hot walls. Since the solids don't have the hot walls anymore, therefore the heter of Bishel does apply to solids according to the Chavis Das. So that's the shita of the Chavis Das and the Minchas Yaakov. On the other hand, if we move over to the second side in our chakira, so now things come out differently. What was the second time in Chakira? That to be a klisheni, to become incapable of cooking, you have to have cold walls. That's specifically the cold walls that makes you into a klisheni, incapable of being cooked. Until you have the cold walls, you're a kli rishon, and you are able to be cooked. If that's the case, so now the Chavis Das and the Achronim point out, things will come out differently. Because when you put a solid into a klisheni, if you take a piece of meat out of a pot and you put it onto a plate, let's say, so technically the plate should be a klisheni, but in this case, it's not enveloped by the cold walls. That there's a basic difference between a solid as opposed to a liquid. When you pour soup, let's say, into a bowl, so the bowl envelops the soup. The liquid, you know, is fluid, and the bowl envelops the soup. In contrast to that, when you put a solid onto a plate, the solid is not enveloped by the cold walls of the plate. And so the Achronim point out that there's a strong room to argue that if you need cold walls, that may only apply to liquids, but not to solids. A liquid is enveloped by the cold walls. That becomes a cliché, and that's incapable of cooking now. But a solid, which is not enveloped by the cold walls, was not going to give the heter of cliché, that's going to be remain capable of cooking. So this is the heter behind the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham was machmer on this issue, is going to hold that it's all about having cold walls, and he says that solids are not going to have cold walls. The solid is not enveloped by the walls of the cliché, and therefore it's considered to be capable of cooking. So that is nafkamina number one in this chakira, the very practical issue of a dover gush, whether solids have the heter of cliché. Any, we good? Okay. And finally, one final nafkamina in this chakira, which once again is posed by the Chavis Das there. Another extremely practical nafkamina in this chakira. There's another major machlokas of poskim, and this is actually the starting point of that Chavis Das. He's in Yoredeya Simen Tzadi Beis commenting on a Taz. There's a Taz there at the very end of Simen Tzadi Beis who brings up the following major practical issue, which is what starts this whole discussion in the Chavis Das. And that is like this. The question becomes, what's the status of a ladle in halacha? You know, we have this, we know that a kli rishon is capable of cooking and a kli sheni is incapable of cooking. Now the question becomes, what's the status of a ladle? Let's say I have a big pot of soup on my fire. It doesn't have to be big. I just threw that in for no reason, I guess. But you have a pot of food on the fire. And so the pot of soup is your kli rishon. And then I take a ladle and I ladle out that soup into a bowl. The question becomes, what's the status of the ladle? Do we view the ladle as a cliché, perhaps? It's another kli that is, we're transferring the soup into the ladle. So maybe the ladle should be viewed as a cliché, such that when I then take the ladle and pour it into a bowl, the bowl is a cliché. So do we say that? Does the ladle go down a notch when you ladle out the soup? Or perhaps no, maybe since you're sticking the ladle into the pot, so maybe the ladle should be viewed as a kli rishon, such that when you pour the ladle into the bowl, the bowl is a cliché. So that's the major issue that comes up in the poskim. And this has major ramifications to halacha. For example, let's say if it will come to putting bread into your soup. So if you want to put bread into your soup, from previous discussions, we saw that in a cliché, that's not okay. Lecharchila, you should not put bread into a cliché, a hot cliché, but you could put bread into a cliché. So we have to ask ourselves, if you have a typical situation where you ladle that soup into your bowl, so if I could treat my bowl as a cliché, so then I could put bread, I could put some challah into the bowl. But if the bowl is going to be viewed as a cliché, so then I cannot put challah into my bowl, and if I wanted to put challah in, I would have to pour it into another bowl to turn it into a cliché. So that would just be a practical application of the shaila in the poskim. So this is the big shaila that comes up in that taz. The question becomes, does a ladle go down a notch? Does it not go down a notch? So says the Chavis Das that he thinks that this is also going to be tully on our chakira, that the shaila of a ladle is also tully on our chakira. I don't know if it's 1,000,000% compelling, but he definitely spelled this out, and that's certainly a worthy marmakam, to take into account his analysis of this situation. So this is how the Chavis Das analyzed this situation. He said like this, that if you go with the first side in our chakira, if a kli rishon, if what makes you into a kli rishon is having hot walls, and anything without the hot walls becomes a cliché and incapable of cooking, he thinks that a ladle is going to become a cliché. Because when you put the ladle into the pot of soup, so the ladle is not actually directly on the fire itself. The outside pot housing the soup is what's on the fire itself, getting cooked by the fire itself. But the ladle inside the pot is not going to actually get cooked by the fire itself to the extent of being called hot walls. That is the assumption of the Chavis Das. He feels that when you put the ladle into the soup itself, the ladle is not going to get the status of having hot walls. Now, you could question this point a little bit, but he does have a very technical, but a pretty nice analysis of the situation, why he feels that this is so, that when you put the ladle into the pot, it's not going to achieve the status of having hot walls, meaning in Metzias it'll be heated up, but it's not going to have the real hot walls that were cooked on the fire itself. That surrounding pot was directly on the fire itself. When you put the ladle into the soup, let's say, he feels that it's not going to have that quality of hot walls, which is necessary to make it into a kli rishon. So going with the first side in our chakira, a ladle would go down a notch and would become a cliché when you stick it into your pot. That is the assumption which is spelled out explicitly by the Chavis Das. On the other hand, if we move over to the second side in our chakira, so he says it'll come out differently. The second side of our chakira was that to become a klisheni, you need to have cold walls. And it's specifically the cold walls that makes you into klisheni. And until you have those cold walls, you're a klirishon and you're able to be cooked. So then, says the Chavos Das like this, listen, when I put my ladle into my pot of soup, even if we're going to argue that it doesn't have hot walls, it definitely doesn't have cold walls. When you stick your ladle into the pot of soup and then you pull it out of the pot, certainly it was heated up a little bit. Now, certainly a ladle is heated up somewhat. We're not going to call that having cold walls. And so if you need to have cold walls to make you into klisheni, then a ladle is not going to go down a notch. A ladle, we cannot say a ladle has cold walls, and therefore it would remain capable of cooking. So that is the Chavos Das' analysis of the practical issue of whether a ladle goes down a notch when you take it out of a pot of soup. So with that, we've concluded today's shiur. So let's just, we'll summarize today's shiur after we take Yona's question. And then we'll just point out the halacha l'maisa. Yeah, Yona. Am I frozen?
So was the other time, do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, sorry.
Okay, so the other time the chakira was specifically cold walls or any
meaning the
chakira, walls that are not?
To be a klirishon, you have to have hot walls. And if you don't have hot walls, you're not a klirishon. Or is it that to be a klisheni and incapable of cooking, you have to have cold walls. And until you have cold walls, you're capable of cooking. If let's say you have a stream in midair. So I pour from my klirishon and it's in midair. Mm-hmm. There, it doesn't have hot walls. It doesn't have cold walls either. So that's the chakira.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is it worded specifically cold walls or walls that are not hot?
Meaning what?
That would make a difference here. In this case,
you want to argue this walls are not in this case. You want to argue that since the walls are not fully hot, that maybe the second you're trying to question the Chavos Das' analysis. Okay, interesting point. Okay, I hear the nekuda, but. That's why I'm being very careful to point out that Chavos Das spelled this out. So,
Inachanami. I'm saying that the walls are
what?
I said the walls are may not be cold walls, but they are unhot walls.
Yes, that's what we're trying to say in saying this Naf Kamina. They're not hot walls, but not cold walls. Right, 100%. Okay. Any other last questions? Any other questions? Okay, fine. Okay, so see the way I tell if you froze or if I froze, if people are blinking or not. If people are blinking, then I know that you froze. But if everyone's not blinking, then they have either they're really, really, they don't need lubrication for their eyes, or I froze. okay, fine. So just to summarize tonight's shiur. So tonight we finished off Melachah Special. We pointed out, we're discussing what types of heat creates a problem. And when it's a fire-generated heat, when is it a problem? We saw that a klirishon is capable of cooking. The original pot on the fire is capable of cooking. A klisheni is not capable of cooking. And if it's in the middle, if it's iruah, you pour from the klirishon onto something raw. That was machlokas reshman versus Rabbeinu Tam. So that was part one of today's shir. And then in part two, we did the conceptual analysis. In terms of the difference in klirishon versus klisheni, Tosis told us that there's a difference in the quality of heat. The klirishon has the quality of hot walls that creates a certain context that's capable of cooking, whereas a klisheni has a context of cold walls that cools it off, that makes it incapable of cooking. So that was point number one. And then point number two was the Hezbrin, the Machlokas Rishpam versus Rabbeinu Tam, asked if Iroh is capable of cooking or not. The Birchas Avram plugged in the Chakir of the Chavos Das. The question was, what was the baseline? To distinguish between klirishon versus klisheni, is it that having hot walls makes you into klirishon? Or is it having cold walls makes you into klisheni? The nafkamina means, what if it's in the middle? What if it's not hot walls, but it's not cold walls? Iroi, the stream in the midair, is not a klirishon, but it's not hot walls, but it's not cold walls. So that's the nafkamina in this machlokas. And let me point out two more nafkaminas, two more practical issues where you don't have hot walls, you don't have cold walls. The first nafkamina was a dabar gush, a solid in a klisheni. If I put a piece of meat onto a plate, so it doesn't have the hot walls, but it doesn't have cold walls enveloping it. So that was the first nafkamina of the Chavos Das in this Chakira. And then the last nafkamina was, the other nafkamina, the Chavos Das, was the ladle. The Chavos Das wants to argue that when you put a ladle into a pot, it's not going to have the mile of hot walls because it's not the actual surrounding pot on the fire, but it's not going to have cold walls either. And so that's the second nafkamina in this machlokas. Now just to point out the halacha l'maisa. So halacha l'maisa, it comes out that any klirishon is capable of cooking so long as it's yad soledispo. Yatz lettuce bow is a very complicated temperature. It ranges from like 113 to like 175 Fahrenheit. But whatever Yatz lettuce bow is, so that if Kli Rishon is Yatzoledes, but we consider it capable of cooking, even if it's off the fire, if your pot of chalent, your pot of soup is off the fire, it's been out for a while, as long as it's Yatzoledes, but it's capable of cooking, you cannot put raw spices into that. When it comes to Iroi, so we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, that if you pour from Kli Rishon onto something, it's capable of cooking a Kedei Klipa, the outer layer of whatever it lands on. So you cannot pour water from a kettle onto a raw piece of meat or onto even tea leaves, possibly because that's going to be an issue of cooking the outer layer. So you can't pour it onto tea leaves, let's say. But we pointed out, since it's only the outer layer, so if you have a baby bottle, that would be okay. So that's when it comes to Iroi. And finally, when it comes to Kli Sheni. So based on the primary sources, it should come out that a Kli Sheni is perfectly fine, and we should be able to put whatever you want into a Kli Sheni. But unfortunately, after the later Mefarshim have had their say on the matter, a Kli Sheni has extremely limited permissible capability. I'm just going to quickly spell out the sources, just if anyone wants to look into it further. There are actually three limitations to a Kli Sheni, which basically make it, you know, very handicapped in halacha. I'm just going to quickly spell out the marmakomos in case anyone wants to look into it further. The first limitation is from the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Hei Amabez. The Mishnah there tells us that there's some things that are able to be cooked in a Kli Sheni. There's some things that are called Kali Habishal, that they need such a small cooking that they're able to be cooked in a Kli Sheni. A certain type of fish there is, it just needs a very light layer of cooking, and so that's able to be cooked in a Kli Sheni. So that's limitation number one. And unfortunately, that opens up a whole Pandora's box of, well, do we really know what's able to be cooked, what's not able to be cooked? And so once that Mishnah tells us that some things can't be cooked, so now we start getting confused and saying, well, maybe a lot of things, you know, can be cooked in a Kli Sheni. And so that's one big limitation to Kli Sheni. And the second limitation to Kli Sheni comes from a Tosfos and Daf Lamed Tes Od Aleph. Tosfos there brings up an issue on the Rabbanan level of Michzi K'mevashel, that based on a certain issue that he raises, in one answer, which the Magen Avraham brings down, the Halacha, he brings up the fact that there might be a derabanan issue of cooking in Kli Sheni because it looks like an act of cooking. Even though it may not cook in principle, it looks like cooking, and that's always a bad issue if people are going to confuse it. So that's a second problem with the Kli Sheni. And finally, a third problem with the Kli Sheni is a chumrah of the Chayei Adam. The Chayei Adam has a chumrah that he thinks that if the Kli Sheni is yad nechbas bo, it's so hot, it's not just your hand's going to recoil, but your hand will get scalded. It's so hot that your hand will get scalded. He has a chumrah that he thinks that that type of Kli Sheni can cook. Chazon Ish argues on that Mikra Din, but that's a chumrah of the Chayei Adam, that he holds that if it's Yad Nechves Bo, it's capable of cooking. So there are three chumras of a Kli Sheni, that some things can cook in a Kli Sheni. Maybe it looks like cooking, it's Mechazik Mevashel, and the chumrah of the Chayei Adam, which Chazon Ish does argue on, about Yad Nechves Bo. And based on these three chumras, so we end up with a very limited heter of Kli Sheni. There are some things that you could put into a Kli Sheni, you could put water, you could put oil into a Kli Sheni, but other than that, so you have to ask your competent local Orthodox rabbi what the halacha with Kli Sheni as to how far the heter goes. Okay, so with that, we've been Messiah Melacha Special. We finished the first 11 melachos, which is a major accomplishment. Thank you very much for all the hasmada over this past year. We managed from last September, last October. So I guess 11 months, Baruch Hashem, was a major accomplishment. I guess we'll discuss next year's limud via email if guys are not against it. So I would strongly be into just finishing up the job we did. We really finished half of Melacha Shabbos. I think we can finish the rest of it in one more year. There are a lot of practical melachas that are left. We have Bona, Makabah Patish, Kosev, Tosher, Matir. So a lot of very practical melachas left, plus the Klalim. We never did the Klalim yet. So I guess guys can email me back if they have an opinion. But yeah, anyone have an opinion? Good? Yeah? Okay. Oh, thank you very much. Ben, we're good? Okay, fine. So I think all right, he even gave me a virtual thumbs up. So I think that's the plan for next year. We're gonna start from Perek HaBona. Perek HaBona, we basically finished the main sugyas in Klal Gadol this past year. So Perek HaBona starts from Kuf Beis Amud Beis. And for 14 more blot, the rest of all the practical malachas are dealt with. And it's much more sugya based than Klal Gadol. Klal Gadol, you know, we use it as a springboard, but Perek HaBona is much more sugya based, which is much more geschmack. And that's classically, anyone who learns Melacha Shabbos, you do Klal Gadol, which is what we did this last year, and then you jump to Abona. So that's the goal for Mitzvah Shem next year. If anyone wants to prepare, from Kuf Beis Amud Beis, just start going straight. Gemarashi, it'll be very beneficial. So thank you very much for a wonderful, wonderful year. Thank you for all the dedication over the summer. You know, the Chevra here, we would not have been able to keep going through the summer if not for everybody. So thank you very much. Thank you for a wonderful year. Thank you. So after Sukkot is when we'll start up again. Have a Kesiva v'chasima tova.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you.
Bye. And Mordechai. Hi, Ben. Hey. Thank you for having me, Mordechai. I really can't thank you enough. You mamish for everything.
No, thank you. Thank you, Chanuch. It's been amazing. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
A great year, and she can continue next year.
Amen.
Zoom has kept us going.
Yeah. So next year, hopefully we'll have a dual option. Based on Operation Warp Speed, I guess. We'll see. Okay.
All right.
Later.
Bye.